Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
For hanging around with us this morning, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. It's always my pleasure to be part of your day, and I appreciate you being part of mine. Karen Post is our guest this half hour. Karen is the branding diva.
She is one of our
top branding experts. And see, folks, they just can't wait to get on the show. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're raring to go the early part of the week. It's Monday, and it's time to get some things going here. And I appreciate your enthusiasm, Karen.
Well, my pleasure.
Karen, my audience knows that I like talking about branding whenever I can, because it's something that I think that if you and I can teach small business owners, we're talking to ourselves here. That's what a lot of people don't realize is when you and I talk to each other, when I talk to my Brain Thrust members, we're all small business owners ourselves. And so we're talking to ourselves here because we all need to learn this stuff. But branding is one of the most important things that small business owners can focus on, can think about when they're talking about or when they're thinking about reaching out and touching people in the marketplace, isn't it?
That's correct. And, you know, a lot of people get confused with what the brand is. They think it's the logo or the tagline, but really the brand is the sum of everything you do.
I actually had somebody say that one time. I was talking to him about branding, and he said, no, we have that. And he pulled it, he whipped it out. He whipped out his logo.
Yeah, that's just one piece of the brand.
Well, the thing is, it's one piece, but it's he thought that that's all he needed, and I'm afraid that's what a lot of small business owners think. And what I'd like for you to do now is, and I know you've done this before for us, Karen, but give us your definition of what branding is.
Okay, a brand is really the mental imprint that is earned and belongs to a product, a service, an organization, an individual, or an event. It's the sum of all the tangible and intangible characteristics. The brand is really what the audience thinks and feels when it hears your company's name or your name, sees your logo, uses your product, or selects you over one of your competitors. So where marketing is the process that gets you there, the brand is your end result.
Some of it is tangible, but a lot of it is intangible.
That's correct. A lot of it is intangible, and a lot of it, I would say 90% of it, is emotional. And a lot of times when entrepreneurs market, they focus on the left brain and the logical part of their message, and most buyers are driven by emotion and feeling. And so when you're thinking about your brand, you really need to amp up that side, and then you'll have a much more powerful bond with your customer.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever you hear, and I know you spend a lot, Karen, I'm sure you spend a lot of time listening to coaches talk about sports and everything, but whenever you hear coaches talk about how they won the game, how they're going to overcome certain adversities, you hear them talking about the intangibles.
Right.
The things that you can't coach, the things that you can't teach kids, they just got to have it. And a lot of times our brands are sort of like that. We can work as hard as we can. We can put as much capital into our businesses as we can possibly afford, and then the brand has to take over the rest of it.
That's correct. And you just want to think about your brand. The essence of your brand is really your purpose, why you're here. Your personality, just how you would describe a person, your position, how you're different in the marketplace, and the promise that you make the market. That really makes up your brand.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to understand all those components, and because there's kind of an infrastructure behind each one of those, isn't there?
Absolutely. Right. And earlier when we were speaking, we were talking about the brand experience, which is really important, and that really addresses so many of these intangible characteristics of the brand. And if you think about Starbucks Coffee, a very successful company, when they first started off, they spent little or no money on external advertising and promotion, and they really built their brand from within their organization, with their employees, and with their focus on building this brand experience. So when you walk in a Starbucks, you experience the cool furniture, the cool jazz music, information about the product. I mean, they took a commodity like coffee, which you can get a cup of coffee a lot of places for under a buck, mm-hmm. and all of us have paid $3, $3.50 for a cup of Starbucks coffee based on that experience that they deliver, not the commodity, not the cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. It was the whole thing. It was the whole...
The whole package, the whole every point
emotion,
of contact.
An emotional thing, too,
absolutely.
There, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're thinking about point of contact, just think about every time you touch the customer, from the time they call you in the evening and get your answering service, to the emails that you send them, what your proposals look like, what your advertising looks like, the uniforms that your employees may wear, what your office looks like, what it feels like, what it says. Every point of contact that you have with your customer really adds to your brand equity through that brand experience.
And when I was talking about infrastructure a minute ago, that includes making sure that your employees understand your idea of a brand, of what your brand is, and make sure that they, when they touch customers, that they deliver the same concepts, the same branding message that you want them to get across. And that takes training, and that's what I mean by infrastructure for employees, for example. And
that's
another
correct.
One, another one for your media, your collateral material, like your the logo we talked about a minute ago. Make sure that your logo is the same wherever it is.
Correct. Yeah, and back to the employees, from the time you're creating an application for someone to join your business, you need to be incorporating your brand message or the story about who you are on that document. And then when they go through training, when you have events for your employees, whether you have an internal newsletter or some sort of form of communication, you always need to be weaving in your brand to all the communication to your employees, because your employees become your brand ambassadors. And if they're not buying into it and if they're not getting it, it's going to be a much tougher road to go up without them.
Karen, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, a lot of times small business owners think that branding is only the realm of the big companies. When we come back, we're going to talk about why it's actually our realm. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And they said you were going to put me on a shelf.
We're back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, small business advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Karen Post is here, too. She's one of our hardcore, dedicated members of our brain trust and just can't wait to get an opportunity to give something back to the marketplace and talk to folks like you about the things that's really exciting to her, and that's branding. And Karen, we really appreciate your time and your information. But before we go any further, I'd like for you to give us your website and tell us about your newsletter.
Great. My website is called brandingdiva.com, and there's a bunch of great articles that you can download for free, and you can sign up for a newsletter that's called The Brain Tattoo that comes out every quarter that's filled with lots of fun ideas. So I invite everyone to visit my website. That's brandingdiva.com.
All right. Sounds good. Stand by. And I mean, folks, check that out when you get a chance. And I know you'll enjoy those articles. And that's all free. And is the newsletter free, too?
Yes, it is.
And it comes by electronically?
Correct.
Once a quarter. All right.
Correct.
Check that out when you get a chance. Karen, I was talking about a minute ago about the fact that small businesses think that we don't have a chance to really be dominant with our brands. because we don't have the money to throw at our brand like the big companies do. But here's the thing. I think if we think that way, we're thinking wrong, because what we're thinking is we're thinking about when the big companies advertise their brand, big companies largely sell people what they need. And we can't do that as small business owners. We can't compete for what people need, because those are commodities, and those very low profit margin and very, very competitive and very, actually, in a lot of ways, not that much emotion, as you were mentioning earlier.
Correct.
But if we can get, if we can sell people what they want, if we can realize that most small business owners need to be in the business of selling people what they want, now you get into the emotional aspect of it. Now you get into the higher profit margin issue, because the more emotion and the more people want something, the more they'll pay for it without really focusing on the price that much.
That's correct. There's two big points there. One is on tapping on the emotion, which is huge. And the second is these big companies with these big budgets, their target audience is like the universe. Most small businesses' target audience is niched and defined, mm-hmm. and they can really zoom in on their branding efforts. So you don't need to have an endless budget to brand successfully. You do need to be a little creative, think out of the box, be consistent with your brand message, and understand that frequency and every point of contact and building your experience is key to making this whole thing work for you.
The best small business brands I've ever seen, Karen, are from small businesses that do some advertising, but not, they don't spend a fortune on advertising. And the way they do it, in a way, is through intimidation. And now you might say, well, how in the world could a little bitty company intimidate Jim Blasingame into doing business with them without a whole lot of advertising or something? Well, here's what they do. They service me so well that I'm afraid to do without them.
Right.
You see my point? Mm-hmm. Whenever I have the opportunity to go somewhere else, I think about not having what they've given me, and I don't want to risk it. I go back to them, even though, and obviously I wouldn't go back if I wasn't willing to pay the price. But I don't scrutinize the price, because I'm intimidated, and there is intimidation. It's not negative, isn't it?
Right. And you said the big word, risk reduction, and that is really the most powerful thing that your brand can do. It reduces the risk in the mind of the buyer, so that they don't want to leave you, and they're loyal, and they want to stick with you. And then they also hit on one of your values, which one of your values is feeling important, feeling special, mm-hmm. And that's very powerful, and it doesn't take a lot of money to do that, but it takes a dedicated, conscious effort by everyone in your company to live through that promise.
And sadly, though, Karen, I go into other businesses where they could with just a simple, maybe just a few words, maybe just by being nice to me, maybe just by saying thank you, they could accomplish almost the same thing, and instead they do the opposite, and it makes me not only not want to come back, it makes me run away.
I know, and tell 100 of your friends.
Exactly. And so the thing is I really appreciate you helping me to dispel this myth that small business owners can't have strong brands, dominating brands.
Oh, they can, because the brand is just telling your story. Connect through feelings, confirm through reason. It's a really simple formula.
And also, I like what else you say, and that's about making sure that all the touch points have your brand associated with it.
Including the website.
Yes.
Big, big, powerful place that people go to. And if it doesn't look consistent and feel like your story, that is a brand buster, and you want to fix that up. That's a very important point of contact.
It's all part of the infrastructure underpinning and undergirding your brand, isn't it?
Correct.
The sales training, the customer service training, the look of the building, the look of the website, the look of the uniforms if you've got uniforms, the look of the vehicles if you have vehicles, the business cards, all that, it all comes together as collateral to support your brand, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Karen, thank you very much for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure. Give us the website one more time.
It is thebrandingdiva.com.
Thebrandingdiva.com. Sounds good. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. Have
See
a great
you next
day.
Time. Quick break. Right back with Sam Norwood. We're going to talk about the economy. 29 after, the show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I'm kidding you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.